I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in case you are not very, very conscious, let me remind you, we are coming very close to the end of August, the 8th month of the year, and then we will have just 4 months left for the year 2014. So every Sunday you come, I'd like to remind you, what have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, should he come, my dear friends, will we be able to give a good account of what we did for him? Now, I trust that you will be very, very conscious of the quick passage of time. And every day, remind yourself, and I also remind myself, that we must be redeeming our time. For soon the Savior will be here. The night cometh when no man can work. So when he comes, my dear friends, we can't do any more work that we want to do for him, or we ought to be doing. So, my dear friends, every day, be up and about for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be occupied for him. Now, the subject this morning is, what is the weight of our heart? What is the weight of our heart? Now, I actually wanted to go into the net to see how heavy the weight is on the average, but I forgot to do it. But I don't think it's very, very heavy. But we are not talking about the physical weight of the heart. I'm talking about the spiritual weight of the heart. We read earlier on in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord pondereth the hearts, or the Lord weighs the heart. Now, man looks on the outside, but the Lord looks on the outside. He looks at our heart, and he weighs our heart. Now, to measure any kind of thing, the weighing instrument must be very accurate. And the person who is weighing the article must be accurate, and he must be honest also. I remember one time coming back from Singapore, we weigh our luggages as usual with our bathroom scale. And we were very, very mindful of not exceeding the limit that is allowed for by the airlines, 50 kilos. So we were very, very sure that we were under 50 kilos. But when we went to the airport at the weighing counter, we found that we had exceeded the weight, exceeded the limit. But very, very thankfully, the check-in counter clerk was very, very kind, and she didn't charge us for the excess in weight. She overlooked the overweight. Now, but even if and that was because of the faulty bathroom scale that we had. Now, but even if we have a weighing machine that is very, very accurate, now if a person is not accurate, or if a person is dishonest in weighing, the weight will also not be accurate. Now, I do not know whether this is still the case or not in Singapore these days, but I know that years ago, the food sellers and the vegetable sellers in the market were usually not very honest, or many of them were not really honest. You saw that you bought 1 kilo of vegetables, and you got home and you weighed the vegetables, and you realized that you only got 900 grams. Yes, 900 grams. Either the weight was inaccurate, or the seller was dishonest, or the seller was inaccurate in his weighing. But my dear friends, when God does the weighing, God is absolutely, absolutely accurate. Proverbs 16, verse 11 says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. He owns the just weights and the just balances. He is perfectly just and he is perfectly true. He cannot lie. When he weighs our hearts, my dear friends, he does so absolutely accurately. Now, human beings can be true, human beings can be honest, but human beings can be truthfully and honestly wrong. But our Lord is never wrong. He is absolutely all-knowing, he is absolutely able. And when he weighs our hearts, the weighing is perfectly accurate, because he is absolutely accurate. Now, what does he weigh our heart against? Of course, he weighs our hearts against his laws, against his Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, to keep, Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. My dear friends, these are the laws given by the one true living God. How does our heart measure up when weighed against these laws of the one true living God? Now this morning, I'd like us to consider 3 points. Number one, our hearts weighed by what processes? Our hearts weighed by what processes? Number two, the hearts that are found wanting. Number three, the hearts that are found of good weight. So 3 things I want to talk about this morning. So first, let's talk about the weighing process. Now the Lord uses circumstances in our lives to weigh our hearts. Sometimes he sends trials into our lives to weigh our hearts. In James chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 we read, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh faith patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and one and entire, wanting nothing." Now what are the trials sent for? The trials are sent to produce patience in us, according to the word of God, to produce patience in us. And this patience in us will produce, will cause us to have spiritual maturity, so that we will be able to run our Christian race well. So trials are sent to into our lives to produce patience, so that Christian spiritual maturity may be produced, so that we may be able to run our Christian race effectively. Now this weighing process is good, for all things work together for good, including our trials, for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now these trials will find out whether professed Christians are true Christians or not. Yes, professed Christians may not be real Christians, and these trials are sent to find out whether they are true Christians or not. And then if we are true believers, these trials are sent to us to find out in regards to our faithfulness. How faithful have we been in following the Lord? Now some, instead of becoming patient when tried by the Lord, become very impatient. They moan and they groan and they murmur, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering. So instead of growing in patience, instead of growing in faith, their unbelief increases. Yes, and they are like the children of Israel. Yes, their unbelief grew into open rebellion against the one true living God. Now you will remember the children of Israel after they came out from the land of Egypt. Not long after they came out from the land of Egypt, came to this place called Kadesh Barnea, from which they sent out 12 spies to scout the promised land. And all came back with one common report, one piece of good news, and that was that the land was indeed flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of the 12 spies didn't eye the land of promise with faith, and they said the land is unconquerable because the land is occupied by giants. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with absolutely good news. They said the land is absolutely conquerable. The dwellers of the land are like bread to us. Let's go in by faith and conquer the land. But the people of Israel chose to listen to the 10 spies who brought back very discouraging news. And then they rebelled against Moses. They wanted to replace Moses with another captain to bring them back to the land of Egypt. My dear friends, let's understand, when they rebel against Moses, they actually were rebelling against the one true living God. So their hearts were weighed, and their hearts were found wanting. Yes, their faith was supposed to increase, but their faith didn't increase. They murmured, they groaned, and then their groaning and their complaining broke out into open rebellion. Now the question is this, when our heart is weighed by trials that come into our lives, will our heart be found wanting, or will it be found to be of good weight? Now years ago, One professor, a believer I knew, went through trials in his life. And then when weighed by the Lord, his heart was found wanting. Now one day I got talking to his teenage daughter, and then this daughter of his, she was only 12 years old, but she was a smart girl. And I got talking to her, and then when she told me something that was very, very shocking. She said, "Oh, life is nothing but chemistry." I said, "What? Life is nothing but chemistry." And she said, "It is just better interacting with matter. That's all." I said, "No God, no souls." "Yeah, no God, no souls." I said, "Where did you learn this from?" She said, "Oh, I learned it from my daddy." This brother had truly come up short. When his heart was weighed by the one true living God. He had forsaken the faith that he once embraced, and he was passing his unbelief to his daughter. My dear friends, his heart was weighed by the Lord, and it came up short. Now, God could send persecution to weigh us too. There are those who are persecuted, and they come forth as gold. Then there are those who are persecuted, and who would capitulate. Yes. The Lord tells us in this parable about one type of ground, in the parable of the sower and the seed. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, you would just turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 5. I read for you, Matthew 13, 5. Matthew 13, 5. Matthew 13, 5. Some seeds. The sower and the seeds. Some seeds, when sowed by the sower, fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And the Lord explains what this ground is in verse 20. He says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," means soon, "with joy receiveth it." Verse 21. "Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." By and by he stumbles. Yes, when he is persecuted, he is not able to hold up, and he stumbles. Friends, only the Lord knows our heart. The day may come when our heart might be weighed by persecution. Now, will our heart be found wanting, or will our heart be like this type of ground, the heart of the fair weather Christian? When the heat is strong, when the heat is on, when the heat is strong, we wilt and we wither away. I trust, my dear friends, that by the grace of God, if persecution should ever come our way, we would be able to hold up for the Lord. Now, as I was preparing this message, I thought of the Christians in the Muslim-dominated countries. And some of them, or a good number of them, are being held at gunpoint by these Muslim terrorists to confess whether or not they will still want to believe in Jesus Christ or to give up their faith and to embrace the Islam religion. My dear friends, let's put ourselves in the shoes of these people. Will we be able to hold up? Let's say one day a gun is pointed at our head. Will you give up Jesus? Will you embrace Islam? What will our answer be, my dear friends? I trust on that day the Lord will give us that very, very special grace to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and not capitulate. Now today we do not face fierce persecution. But in the world, the question is, dare we be different from people in the world? Dare we be different? Dare we be different from the boys in the office? My dear friends, we may stick up like a sore thumb in the office because of the moral virtues and the moral standards we hold. Yes, the pressure on us to conform could be very, very strong. The pressure could be on us to drink with the boys, to use the kind of language, to use their profanities, and to use their moral standards. And if we don't comply, we don't belong with the group, My dear friends, we can be very, very isolated, we can be taunted, or we can be despised, or even persecuted. But friends, these trials could come our way to test us, to weigh our hearts. But let's remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, when the people saw the moral virtues of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did the majority of the people appreciate the appreciate the moral virtues of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Did they? Now you know what the Word of God says. When they saw him, there was no beauty that they should desire him. No beauty. They did not see beauty in the moral virtues of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are no greater than our Master. If our Master was despised, we will be despised. If our Master was persecuted, we will be persecuted. Let's understand this truth. Yes, surely, my dear friends, in the eyes of people in the world, when they look at us and look at the moral virtues that are in us, they have to say also that there is no beauty in them that we should desire them. Our hearts will be weighed by the Lord, my dear friends, in these situations. The question is this: will our heart be of a good weight? Or will it have no weight? Or will it be a weight of very light heart? My dear friends, I trust that when our heart is weighed, it will be a heart of good weight. And then you young people in school, your hearts will be weighed too. The pressure on you could be very, very great, the pressure to belong. And the pressure on you to belong maybe could even be greater than the pressure that is exerted on the adults in the offices. Yes, the pressure to experiment could be very, very strong. You might not be seen as cool if you do not want to belong. You might not be seen to be cool if you are not willing to experiment. Yes, to experiment with what? Experiment with smoking. Experiment with alcohol. Experiment with drugs. Or even experiment with sex. Now the Lord may allow such circumstances to come upon you to weigh your heart. Will you capitulate? Will your heart be found wanting? Or will your heart be found to be of good weight? Friends, our hearts are not only weighed in adversity, but our hearts are also weighed in times of prosperity. When we are in good positions, when we are in position of honor, when we are in position of ease. Now you will recall the third type of ground the Lord talks about in his parable. He said in Matthew chapter 13, once again Matthew chapter 13, and look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And some of the seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." And he says further in verse 22, he explains the meaning of this ground. He says in verse 22, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Yes, these people in their prosperity, their hearts are weighed and found to be wanting because their hearts are choked by the deceitfulness of riches. Yes, these people could be very busy making money and they have no time for the Lord because they are busy making money. Now, years ago in our church in Jurong, now Calvary Pandan is our mother church, of course. But before we built Calvary Pandan, we had Calvary Jurong. And we were worshipping in Calvary Jurong in those days. Now, in those days in Calvary Jurong, there were young adults who were quite prosperous materially. And then we used to joke with one another. And those who were more prosperous than others, we were jokingly say, these people are rich young rulers. We refer to them as rich young rulers. But we were joking. But you remember the rich young ruler who came to see the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and he asked the Lord this question: "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said to him, "Obey the laws. You know the laws, you obey, know the commandments of the Lord, obey the commandments." And this young man said, "Lord, I've done all this from the time of my youth." And the Lord said one thing one more thing to him. Sell all that you have and come and follow me. Now, the Lord was by no means teaching salvation by works. No, that was not his intent. What the Lord knew of this man was that this man had great riches, and his riches was the thing that was preventing him from coming to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. His riches was his God, and it was preventing him from coming to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this young man went away dejected because he was not willing to part with his wealth. Now, in those early days, as I said, in Jurong, there were these young adults, yes, working, and they were quite prosperous, and we used to tease one another and said, rich young ruler, and so forth. But friends, of course, we were not envious of one another. It was just meant to be a joke when we refer to people with that term. But how sad it was, because for some, the jokes turned into reality. Over time, some grew in material prosperity to the extent that they forsook the Lord. Yes, they were actually zealous young people when they were younger. They served the Lord very, very well. And many of them were actually, and some of them were well looked up by the church congregation members. But when they became prosperous materially, they forsook the Lord. Surely when their hearts were weighed, their hearts would have been found wanting by the Lord. So friends, dare we pray for material prosperity? Should we pray for material prosperity? Now, don't forget, material prosperity can be a snare that causes us to turn away from the Lord. Yes, we can be sure that in times of prosperity, the Lord will weigh our hearts. Surely, my dear friends, it's wiser to pray for contentment than to pray for prosperity. Don't you think so? For contentment. Whether we are rich, or in time, whether we are in time of prosperity, whether we are in time of adversity, let's pray for contentment. The word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So the Lord weighs our hearts in times of adversity, in times of prosperity. The question is, when he weighs our hearts in those times, will we be found wanting, or will we be found short? Now, will we be found wanting, or will our hearts be of good will? Now, let us move on to the next part of my message, which is the hearts that are found wanting when weighed, found wanting when they are weighed. The Lord weighs the hearts, and there are those that are found wanting straight away. There is no need for second weighing. When the hearts are weighed, straight away the Lord says, this heart is found wanting. No need for second weighing. Now the first type that is found wanting immediately is the natural heart. This is the heart that likes to do things that come naturally. Yes. And what is the most natural thing this kind of heart would do? What do you think? A natural heart? What's the most natural thing a natural heart would do? The most natural thing that a natural heart would do is to sin, of course, to sin, because this heart is totally incapable of doing anything good in the sight of the one true living God. It's only natural for this heart to sin and to continue to sin. Yes, to do otherwise is completely foreign and unnatural to this heart. And do you know what the natural heart is like? The Word of God describes the natural heart in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that very, very famous verse, well-known verse. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is what the natural heart is like. Now, this heart is very, very capable of deceiving other people. Yes? Now, I've said this many times before, and I'm going to say it again this morning. For example, we come to church on the Sunday morning. It appears that we are worshiping the one true living God. And we are supposed to be worshiping the one true living God. And here we appear to be worshiping Him. And then when the offering bag comes around, we put in our money into the offering bag. It appears that we are offering our thanksgiving unto the Lord when we put our offering into the offering bag. And then when we sing hymns, we appear to be singing praises unto the one true living God. And when we pray, we shut our eyes, we appear to be praying. But dear friends, the question is, are we really doing that? Really praying, really presenting our offerings sincerely, worshiping the one true living God? My dear friends, if we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing, we are actually deceiving all our fellow believers or our fellow congregation members in this church on the Lord's Day. We have deceived them. We make them think that we are worshiping the Lord when in actual fact we are not. Now, friends, I'm saying all these things not to discourage you from coming to church. Of course, I'd love for you to come to church every Lord's Day. But I'm saying all this to draw our attention to the deceitfulness of the heart, something which we are all very, very capable of being guilty of, myself included. How we need to purify our hearts every day of the deceitfulness of the heart and come to before the Lord with pure hearts, so that when He weighs our heart will be found to be of good weight. In fact, the heart is so deceitful that it is not only capable of deceiving other people, but the heart is also very capable of deceiving ourselves. Now, haven't we caught ourselves doing something wrong, and then after we've done that thing that is wrong, we try to justify the wrong that we did. Isn't it true? Haven't we done that? Yes, we try to justify the wrong that we did. It was wrong, but we try to argue within ourselves to make it good, right, in our hearts. And you know what you call that? That is called rationalizing. It's rationalizing. And the word rationalizing is actually a very nice way of saying a bad thing. Rationalizing. Yes, it's actually a nice way of saying something that is bad. And actually, it is sin. Now you take the case of this man called King Saul. Remember, Saul was given this assignment by the one true living God through the prophet Samuel to destroy the Amalekites. Now, to destroy these enemies completely, destroy all of them and the animals also, all of them, because these Amalekites were a very, very cruel people. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they attacked, these Amalekites attacked the children of Israel. They didn't attack the strong. They attacked all the weak, the sick, the old. They attacked them. And God said, I will deal with them. I will judge them. And the judgment for them would be this, that one day they will be wiped out from the surface of the earth. And so when at the time of King Saul, the prophet Samuel told Saul to destroy the Amalekites that he had gone out to fight against, to destroy all of them completely. But what did Saul do? Saul spared the king, King Agag. And Saul also spared the best quality animals from among the Amalekites' animals. And then Samuel came and rebuked him. And when Samuel came and rebuked him, you know what Saul said to Samuel? You see, what I've done is this. Actually, I kept all these animals. For what purpose? To sacrifice unto the Lord. You see, it was greed that caused him to keep all these things. But now he said, oh, I kept all these animals actually to sacrifice unto the Lord. A bad thing done by him, and he made it sound as if it was good. Maybe he had convinced himself that he had done something that was very right and very good. And that's called rationalizing. He deceived himself. So you see how deceitful the heart is. Friends, let us be honest with ourselves. We have inherited such a heart, a deceitful heart, and we need to repent, my dear friends, and to ask the Lord to give us a new heart. Yes, to replace this heart that is wicked and deceitful with a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart in which the Lord Jesus Christ dwells, a heart in which the Holy Spirit is in control. And this is the heart that will not be found wanting as far as it's being condemned is concerned. It will not be found wanting. The Lord will say, the Lord looks at this heart, weighs this heart, and say, this heart is not condemned. Yes, my dear friends, we need this heart. Every one of us, if you have not gotten this heart yet, you can ask the Lord for this heart. Today, come, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and ask the Lord to give you a new heart. He will give you this new heart. Now, another kind of heart that is found, sure to be found wanting immediately, is the hardened heart. Heart is hardened. Such a heart is callous. It is hardened to the point where it is beyond the person's ability to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, many scribes and Pharisees during the time of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this earth, were people with this kind of heart. Hardened hearts. Yes, they had hardened hearts. When they saw the Lord Jesus Christ performing those great and wondrous miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know what they said? They said, he performed those miracles by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. My dear friends, such hearts surely were hardened to the point where they were incapable of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Such hearts are definitely found wanting when the Lord weighs them. So friends, I ask you this question this morning. Are your hearts hardened? Now, week after week, you have been coming to this church, some for some time now. Now, I dare say that for some, you may just be one step away from the kingdom of God. Just one step. But you won't want to take that step. Just one step away, and you wouldn't want to take that step. My dear friends, listen carefully. If you maintain that position of not wanting to take that step, and you stubbornly hold that position, the day may come when you say, Lord, I want to take that step. It may be too late. You know why? Because your heart could have been hardened to such an extent that the Lord would have given you up. And you would be totally, totally incapable of taking that step, even if you wanted to. There are people who find this out too late. On the deathbed, they sincerely want to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they are not able to. So friends, I ask you this morning, maybe you are just one step away from the kingdom of God, but you are not ready, you are not wanting to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Why don't you do it this morning? Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent from your sins, take that step. And then when you have taken that step, he will give you this heart of flesh. And when this heart of flesh is weighed by the Lord, it will not be found wanting as far as your being condemned is concerned. You will not be condemned. He looks at your heart and says, there is no condemnation as far as this heart is concerned. Now, another kind of heart that is found wanting immediately when weighed is the unrepentant heart. Mercy knocks at the door of this heart. But this heart refuses to open. Yes, refuses to open its door. You remember the two thieves who were crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. One on his left, one on his right. One of them repented. Mercy knocked at his heart's door and he repented. He cried out to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said to him, today verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He repented. Now, what about the other thief? Now, the other thief didn't respond. Mercy knocked at his heart. He refused to respond. In fact, he continued to pass all those wicked, snide remarks concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Surely this unrepentant heart, when weighed, was found to be wanting immediately. No need for further reweighing. Now, some hearts, when weighed, first time, might be found to be very good, found to be of good weight. But on subsequent weighings, they may not found to be that good. Now, they might be found to be wanting. You remember the case of King Solomon. When Solomon came to the throne of Israel, the Lord appeared to him and asked Solomon, Solomon, what do you desire of me? And Solomon answered and said something that was very pleasing to the Lord. He didn't ask for the lives of his enemies. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for prosperity. He didn't ask for power, for might. He didn't ask for all these things. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. And the Lord was very, very pleased with his request. And I am very, very sure that at that time, if his heart was weighed by the Lord, the heart will not be found wanting. The heart will be found to be of good weight. But on subsequent weighings, Solomon's heart was not found to be so. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, in verse 1, okay, upon subsequent weighings, now look at the condition of the heart of this man, King Solomon, 11 verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. His heart was found wanting, not perfect, like the heart of his father David. Now let us recognize, my dear friends, that our hearts are constantly weighed by the Lord. On the day of repentance, sure, our heart was weighed by the Lord, and was not found wanting, as far as its being condemned was concerned. Not found wanting, it was found to be of good weight. Yes, but friends, on subsequent weighings, after that, what was the weight of our heart like? Each time the Lord weighed our heart. And the most pertinent question is this. Today, if the Lord were to weigh our heart, and I'm sure he weighs our heart, my dear friends, what is the weight of our heart like? Is it of good weight? Is it of no weight? Or is it of light weight? Would it be found wanting, or would it be of good weight? Now, what kind of hearts are hearts that are of good weight? Now, that's my third point. Yes, they must be trembling hearts. Trembling hearts. Not hearts that are filled with terror when they think of God, but hearts that are repentant. Hearts that are trembling at the thought of sinning against the one true living God. Hearts that fear the Lord. Hearts that reverence the Lord. Hearts that know that the Lord has worked this great work of salvation in their hearts, and are working out the salvation that has been worked in those hearts. My dear friends, that kind of a heart is a heart of good weight. And then hearts that are of good weight are hearts that are pure, mourning over the sins they have committed, and must be longing and sighing for holiness. Are we longing and sighing for holiness? You may think that's such a dull thing to long and sigh for holiness. But friends, that's what the Lord wants our heart to be. Holy, because there is beauty in holiness. Yes, the Lord wants our heart to be beautiful. And how can it be beautiful? It can be beautiful only if it is holy. And if it's a holy heart, my dear friends, it will surely be found to be of good weight by the Lord when he weighs it. Now, the hearts that are of good weight must be those that are fixed. Fixed on the Lord with faith. Yes, the word of God in Psalm 123 verse 2 says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of the master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he hath mercy upon us." My dear friends, hearts that are of good weight unto the Lord have eyes, have spiritual eyes that are fixed on the Lord. Fixed on the Lord with faith, with unwavering faith. Remember, the word of God says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is what he says he is. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Friends, that's the kind of heart that the Lord loves for us to have. It is of good weight. If it is a heart of faith, if it is a heart that has spiritual eyes that are fixed on the Lord, eyes of faith. Now, the hearts that are of good weight are tender. How essential it is that hearts be tender in our relation with others. How essential it is that husbands and wives have tenderness towards one another. And you know all the quarrels and between brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, quarrels between husbands and wives can easily be resolved if the hearts of parties concerned are soft and tender. Yes, one time an older brother in the Lord and a younger in the brother in the Lord, didn't get along. There was a serious misunderstanding between them, and they actually became very, very, they were filled with animosity towards one another. Yes? And the members in the church were very, very concerned over these two brothers and were very, very hopeful that they would be reconciled. And I got involved too, and I wrote a letter to this younger brother. And I thought, since he was younger, then maybe he should make the first move because he was younger. So I wrote him a letter, and I quoted Ephesians 4:32, and which says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Be tender-hearted. And you know what was his response? He was very, very defensive. Right? He held his position very, very strongly and accused the other brother of being wrong and so on and so forth. Now, one day, a conciliation meeting was held for them. And it was expected that both parties would come to the meeting armed to the teeth, you know, waiting to quarrel with one another. But then at the meeting, the older brother said, "Today I come with no ammunition. Yes, I come to make peace." And when he softened, this younger brother also softened. And then they softened, he softened, and he softened. And eventually they were reconciled. And today they are very, very happily relating with one another. How wonderful! And this can only happen, my dear friends, if we are willing to have our hearts made tender by the Lord. And if our hearts are tender, when they are weighed by the Lord, they will not be found wanting. So, the Lord pondereth the heart. When he weighs the heart, he is perfectly accurate. He makes no mistakes when he weighs, because he is just, absolutely fair, absolutely all-knowing. There is no searching of his understanding. He uses adversity. He uses prosperity to weigh our hearts. What is the weight of our heart when he weighs it? Now the hearts that are found wanting immediately are the natural hearts, the unrepentant hearts, and the hardened hearts. And then there are those hearts that appear to be of good weight on first weighing, but on subsequent weighings, they may not be the case. They may not be found wanting. Now, the heart that is of good weight is one that is filled with what? Filled with fear and with trembling, working out the salvation that has been worked in that heart. Now, that kind of heart, my dear friends, is a heart of good weight. It is a heart that is pure. It is a heart that is cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a heart that is longing and sighing for holiness. My dear friends, if you are longing and sighing for holiness, you can be sure that your heart is of a good weight in the eyes of the one true living God. And it is a heart of good weight if the heart has eyes of faith, looking unto the one true living God in a very steadfast manner. The Lord asks us to give him our heart. Now, what kind of heart are we offering to him? Is it a heart that is found wanting by him, or is it a heart that is of good weight? My dear friends, I trust that we will all, by the grace of God, ask the Lord to cause our heart to be of good weight for us to offer that heart to him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that every day you are weighing our hearts. Lord, we pray that our hearts may not be found wanting when they are weighed. We know that you send, you allow circumstances to come into our lives to try us, to weigh us, even circumstances in times of prosperity and circumstances in times of adversity. Lord, we pray that by your grace, when our hearts are weighed, they may always not be found wanting, but they may be found to be of good weight. And Lord, you know that there are those here whose heart is definitely found to be wanting, because it is a natural heart, because it is a heart that is unrepentant, that has not opened itself to the knocks of mercy. And you know that some might just be one step away from the kingdom of God, but are not willing to take that bold step to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray, O Lord God, that that heart might be softened today. That person may soften today and say to you, Lord, I want to have a new heart. Please give me this new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that is a heart in which the Lord Jesus Christ dwells, a heart in which the Holy Spirit is in control. We pray, O Lord God, that such a person may indeed today be willing to come to the foot of the cross to make that very, very vital decision. And Lord, we pray that you will be with all of us today, enable us to shine for you, enable us to be the witnesses that you want us to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.